The House of Representatives passed a bill this afternoon that will keep the Department of Homeland Security funded up to September, the end of the current fiscal year.
The bill passed without any restrictions on immigration and is seen as a victory for President Obama, whose executive action on immigration has been at the center of the weeks-long battle over Homeland Security funding.
With us now is Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, representing Wisconsin. He serves as chair of the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. Senator Johnson, welcome back to the show.
Hello, Rob. Hello, Veronica. How are you doing?
Well, we're good. So this bill just passed the House. What's the sentiment among you and your colleagues over on the Senate side?
Well, I'm happy it did. I've been voting consistently to fund the Department of Homeland Security in such uncertain times with the threats we face. I certainly did not want to see the department not with full funding. But I do recognize the fact that it was President Obama that introduced immigration reform into Department of Homeland Security's funding, and he really poisoned the well, as Leader McConnell and Speaker Boehner had talked about, and that was unfortunate. But again, I've been consistently calling to have the thing funded, and I'm glad it has been.
Now, that executive action on immigration was the sticking point. People in the House and some in the Senate wanted to pass a Homeland Security funding bill that struck funding for that portion of immigration. Democrats on your side effectively blocked that. If you could have gotten the votes, would you rather have passed a Homeland Security funding bill that limited those executive actions?
Well, absolutely. I think every Republican, again, wanted to fully fund the legal and essential elements of Homeland Security, but we had a real problem with President Obama changing immigration law, which a federal district court judge in Texas has ruled that he's done that. So, you know, from my standpoint, when the courts got involved, and I think it's appropriate they did, pretty much that this issue would be decided in the courts, and I think that's appropriate. And so it's certainly the moment when I said, okay, let's let the courts decide this, let's fund the department.
Will you try in the Senate to pass a separate bill? There had already been a vote on it, or an attempt to pass it. Would you want to still try to pass a separate measure targeting those executive actions?
Yes, because, again, President Obama, 22 times, I think, prior to taking that executive action, said he did not have the legal authority to do that. And when he took the this action, he said he was changing the law. There's nothing in the Constitution that allows the president or gives him the authority to change, enact, or repeal laws. I mean, his job is to faithfully execute the law, and of course, that's what a federal district judge in Texas has ruled. This will go through the court process now, and they will, in the end, decide the legality of his actions.
The president, the White House have argued that they do have the legal authority to do this. Part of it is prosecutorial discretion. They get to pick who they try to deport first, that they have the ability to, and this is the part that the judge you mentioned had a problem with, to take positive actions as well. Do you think that the courts ultimately might rule against you on this one?
They may, but if you read the 123-page opinion of this judge, I haven't read the entire thing, but I've read a very detailed summary of it. It's very well-reasoned. And again, there's no doubt about the fact that the Department of Homeland Security does have that prosecutorial discretion and has been using that discretion literally for decades. You know, the departments in both administrations have been doing so. But when you start changing the law by actually issuing work permits, when you start issuing Social Security cards, which are permanent card, you know, supposedly addressing a temporary situation, that's going far beyond prosecutorial discretion. That's actually a positive action, as the judge ruled, and that's changing the law, which the president has no authority to do. And again, we all take an oath of office to support and defend the Constitution. Somebody has to stand up for the co-equal branches of government so that we maintain that delicate balance. If not, we put our freedom and liberties at risk. So I think it's very appropriate for Congress to certainly make an issue of this and do everything we can to restore that delicate balance that President Obama, in numerous cases, through his executive overreaches, is threatening.
Some of your colleagues, House Republicans, had said the fight should have been kept up. You should have fought harder and risked what people have described as a shutdown or partial shutdown of Homeland Security. You, I believe, suggested that this wouldn't really be a shutdown. A lot of vital services would still go on, which they would have, with some unpaid staff, some other furloughs. That being the case, why not take the fight further and risk that partial shutdown?
Because we are under very serious threat of terrorist attack in this country. We've seen it in Paris and Copenhagen and Sydney and Ottawa, in Fort Hood, Texas. So these are perilous times. So this is no time to risk the security of our nation, the health and safety of Americans over a political dispute. Again, this is being taken over the court. It's a legitimate dispute. It's one that needs to be fought. But I don't think we should be using the funding of the Department of Homeland Security as a tool in that fight.
Do you think this showdown over immigration and Homeland Security has been distracting Republicans, the Republican majority in both chambers, from other top priorities, jobs, health care, that sort of thing?
Well, again, both Speaker Boehner and Leader McConnell asked President Obama not to unilaterally act because they said it would poison the well, and it did. And I've experienced that firsthand as I was discussing actually taking up a border security immigration enforcement law. One of the things I was talking about is if you really want to secure the border, we should reduce the incentives for illegal immigration, the greatest incentive being people coming here based on work opportunities. And so I was suggesting let's, as part of a border security bill, include a guest worker program in many respects administered by the states, where they could set the quotas, they could set prevailing wage rates, get the states involved. And that was actually gaining traction. I was talking to a number of colleagues that I think had a flexible and open mind to that, but when President Obama took that unilateral action, it did poison the well, and quite honestly, those discussions ceased. And that's a real shame. So President Obama has claimed he wanted to fix the immigration problem. He said he would do it in his first year when he had a filibuster-proof majority in the Senate. He did not do so. And he said, again, 22 times he didn't have authority to do what he did. He said he changed the law when he took this executive action. So these are serious constitutional issues. This is overreach by this executive. It's an issue that we should certainly challenge the president on if we're going to maintain our freedoms.
The other big news in Congress today, Israeli leader Benjamin Netanyahu speaking to a joint session. What did you take away from that speech?
It was an extraordinary speech. I think it took courage on the part of Prime Minister Netanyahu to come over to America, particularly when this administration, I think inappropriately, was highly critical of him and really used this as a wedge between our two nations. Israel, the state of Israel, views what's happening with the negotiations with the Iranian nuclear program as an existential threat. I agree with them. So you have the Prime Minister of the State of Israel so concerned about what this administration is doing in their negotiations with Iran that he felt pretty well compelled to make his case to the American public, because it is this president, this administration, that is barreling forward with negotiations that I think not only threaten Israel but threaten the region and world peace, and are going to lead, as Prime Minister Netanyahu said, he's not trying to block a nuclear program. He's paving the way for a nuclear weapons program in Iran. So I think it's very appropriate. I think it was a powerful speech. I hope it had the type of effect that will hopefully lead to the support of a pretty simple bill coming out of Congress, which is just going to require any deal that President Obama does with Iran to be voted up or down by the United States Congress. I think it's fitting and proper that that happens, because any deal that Iran strikes, the Iranian parliament will ratify.
The goal of the negotiations is to, from the United States side, prevent Iran from ending up with nuclear weapons. Is there a chance that congressional interference, as the president, I think, has described it, would jeopardize successful negotiations that would do just that?
Well, first of all, the negotiation was pretty well lost at the onset when President Obama relaxed the sanctions, which brought the Iranians to the table, and at the same time, pretty well changed the policy of the world toward Iran's nuclear program. Prior to this, we had multiple UN resolutions that called for the suspension of uranium enrichment on the part of Iran, and as part of these negotiations, we basically implied that Iran could continue to enrich uranium, and then it just became a question of how many centrifuges they were going to allow Iran to continue to operate. And now it's getting to an almost ridiculously high number. And we're talking about not really preventing a nuclear weapons program for Iran, but just trying to manage one. So there is no chance, from my standpoint, of a successful negotiation. President Obama lost this negotiation before it even began, and this is a threat to the region, to the threat to Israel, and it's the threat to world peace.
What's the alternative to negotiation in this instance? I mean, not negotiating would open the door, I suppose, to Iranian nuclear weapons programs, military intervention. What do you see as the alternative to this ongoing negotiation?
Well, as Prime Minister Netanyahu said, the alternative isn't a bad deal or war. The alternative is a bad deal versus a good deal, and a good deal would actually honor those UN resolutions and require the dismantling of their nuclear capabilities. So, you know, Prime Minister Netanyahu said if Iran wants to be treated like a normal country, it needs to act like a normal country. It needs to stop being the primary state sponsor of terror. And so what we should have done is we should never have relaxed the sanctions that brought Iran to the negotiating table in the first place. And I guess the only way to get a good deal is we're going to have to reconstitute those sanctions, and we'll have to force Iran to behave as a normal country, stop their sponsor of state terrorism. And, of course, one of the complicating features in here now is because of President Obama's historic blunder of pulling a stabilizing force of American military personnel out of Iraq. That situation spun out of control. It allowed the rise of ISIS from the ashes of what was al-Qaeda in Iraq. And now Iran is one of the powers that is actually battling back on ISIS. And I think this president realizes if we're going to battle ISIS, we almost need Iran. So, again, it's an incredibly complex situation. But so much of it is the result of lack of resolve, lack of leadership on the part of this administration.
Briefly, I know we're just about out of time. Speculation about a rematch, Russ Feingold against Ron Johnson in 2016. Your thoughts?
Well, no matter who I will face, I'll be facing somebody from the Democratic Party, and as Chuck Schumer has labeled the Democratic Party the party of government. And I think what Americans have seen, certainly in the last 6 years, is that a larger, more intrusive government that is spending our and mortgaging our children's future, that is not creating the kind of security that Americans are facing. I don't think big government sells too well. So no matter who it is, it's going to be a contest, somebody who really supports and wants to grow this dysfunctional federal government versus somebody like myself who really does understand that it's, you know, long-term, you know, good-paying, long-term, self-sustaining jobs actually created in the private sector, and we should do everything we can to make it easier for people to create jobs and build a strong middle class.
Senator Johnson, thanks a lot for taking the time.
Have a great day.
You too. That's Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson.